Good morning, everybody. It's good to see everybody here. This is my family from 50 years ago. Pastor Mel, 1976. Isn't that amazing? Half a century, such a long time ago. So many things have changed. He looks the same, I think. I've acquired gray hair. I've acquired deafness as well. This morning, when I got up, we have the Alexa system in our house. And I said to Alexa, turn on bedroom light. And she said at that point, I'm having difficulty hearing you. And I said to my wife, we'll have to get her a hearing aid as well. So this morning we have the amazing story of the glory of Christ. And we are going to proclaim the glory of Christ everywhere, are we not? In our lives, the way we live, or by our lips, or by both. So before I read that, let's consider the glory of Christ. He is the God of compassion. He has the authority and the grace to cleanse us from all sins, all of them. And that's the amazing story of this cleansing of the leper. We'll see that in a minute. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In descending to the earth, he literally moved heaven and earth to save us. And we also see the stunning and beautiful glory of God the Father. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father, he said. So let's pray. Thank you so much, Father, for your Son Jesus. What a gift. How amazing it is that he voluntarily came to this earth to give his life for us, to teach us, to make disciples of us, to ultimately cleanse us from sins completely for eternity. We thank you that in this story we see your magnificence, the patience, the love, the pity of your Son. And we also see his authority. And he shines like a light in this story, as he does in every story about him. We thank you, Father. Please open our eyes to what you are doing in our lives. After you have cleansed us, you continue to make us pure, and you allow us to put on the righteousness of your Son, Jesus. In his name, amen. So, isn't it amazing? I think the God who could not be contained in the universe. They still cannot see the end of the universe. Isn't that amazing? The God that could not be contained in the universe came to us in a tiny speck in the womb of Mary, a human being. He set aside his place in heaven and he took on humanity. He took it on in such a way that many people couldn't see it. Because if you were standing there, you would be amazed. Somebody told you, this man who's standing there, he's breathing, and he's working, he sweats, he eats, he does all of the things that a human being does. And then somebody said, but that's God. You say, no, can't be. God is the one who made the heavens and the earth, and his hand stretched out the heavens and the earth, and by the word of his power, he made everything. And you're telling me this human being standing there is God. Well, he wanted to show that he is God. And the way that he did it was through healing, the authority that he had over sickness. But he wanted to show beyond that, the real purpose of his life was to make disciples and to cleanse us from sin. He came to save the lost. He didn't come to heal everybody in Israel at that time. So, he humbled himself. He took the form of a servant. Being in the likeness of men, found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Let's take a look. Let's read this passage all the way through. And we're seeing the passage, his compassion, his healing power, his character, his reputation, his giving his life for us, and his power to save us. So, Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 45. I'm going to read them all together in the English Standard Version first, and then we're going to go through them word by word. And a leper came to to him, imploring him and kneeling, said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. There is the amazing story of our text. And you'll notice that on the previous slide, the word for glory is doxa. And we use this word, don't we, for praise. We have what's called doxology, which is praising him. But the glory of Christ is really the weightiness of everything. All of his attributes, his authority, his healing power, but most importantly is his ability to cleanse us from sin. And of course, after he rose from the dead, he returned to the fullness of his glory in heaven. So his glory sums up his reputation and his name. The name Jesus is the only name by which we are saved. Just using the name itself is so powerful, because we are recognizing his authority to forgive us, his authority over the whole of the universe. So his purpose on earth was to seek and save the lost. It wasn't just to heal. He healed in compassion, and he healed to show his power so that people would recognize who he is. So I'm going to read a little bit to you about the sad, sad story of what it's like to be a leper. So we understand a little bit when this leper came to Jesus, the desperation, the horror of it. And it's amazing that this is so early in his ministry, but already Jesus' reputation had got into the leper colonies, because these guys had to be out of town completely. They had to be isolated. So today we have 150 cases a year of leprosy in the United States, and it's actually increasing. I'm not quite sure why. And there's 200,000 new cases of leprosy every year in the world. A lot of them are in India. So this is a story out of Philip Yancey's book, Where is God When It Hurts? And he visits a hospital, the Carville Hospital. It's rather famous in Florida. It's in an isolated area, but there's no danger for anybody visiting. But it does show the extent and the enormity of the problem. So the first person he sees is a middle-aged Hawaiian man named Lou. I noticed that Lou has more visible deformities than most patients here. He came to Carville with an advanced case of leprosy. His eyebrows and his eyelashes are gone, which gives his face a naked, unbalanced appearance. Because his eyelids are paralyzed, tears tend to overflow, and he seems to be perpetually crying. So Dr. Brand told him that Lou is virtually blind. Blind from lack of pain. Tiny pain cells on the surface of his eye stopped signaling the irritation and discomfort that call for blinking. And as his dulled eyelids blinked less frequently, Lou's eyes gradually dried up. And I cry to think about this. It's so terrible what they go through. So few patients have destroyed their eyes by the simple act of washing their faces, because they don't have that pain. What happens is there's a whiteness on the skin, and when you touch it, there's no actual pain. And that eventually deteriorates into the most horrible effects. One thing that Lou suffers from is his feet are smooth stumps without toes. All 10 toes were lost due to inadvertent injury and infection. His hands are lined with deep cracks and thickened scars. But Lou's main problem, the reason he has come to the clinic, is more psychological than physical. Lou feels a door has been shut between him and the rest of the world. So picture now our dear leper who comes to Jesus in this most terrible state. And we have to remember one other thing too. In Leviticus 13, the Israelites made sure that because it is a contagious disease, God directed so that lepers would be isolated to minimize that contagion. And they had to remain unclean as long as they had the disease. And if you look in the detail of Leviticus, he had to be not only in a secluded place, but he had to dishevel his hair, he had to tear his clothes, and he had to stay right out of the camp, and he had to shout loudly, "I am unclean." Just amazing, isn't it? You know, no wonder this leper went to Jesus. But the interesting thing is he had complete confidence in Jesus, and he was disobedient right from the start, because he ran to Jesus. He wasn't supposed to do that. He was supposed to say, "I'm unclean," and he's supposed to stay away, but he didn't. He ran to Jesus because he knew that Jesus could heal him. He had complete trust in that. He knew it. Isn't that amazing? So we're going to go through the passage now, word by word. A leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling, said to him, kneeling, which of course is an act of worship. He knew, probably knew who Jesus is, the Son of God. And he says, "If you will, you can make me clean." He knew he could do it. So he came in and he wanted this healing. Now, we think that the way that Jesus treated this is he saw this horrible condition for this man, but he knew in advance that he was going to be disobedient again. He knew when he chose Judas, he knew he was going to betray him. He knew this man was not going to be obedient, and he knew it was going to cause him some trouble. But he was so moved with pity that he looked down and said, "I am going to heal this man. It's so terrible, his condition, that I am going to do something." And of course, later in his ministry, he cleansed others as well. So the NASB says moved with compassion. In the ESV, it says moved with pity. But it's a very strong word. It's like Jesus was angry and pitiful for him at the same time. Why was he angry? He was angry at the result of sin. Sin angers him. Out of compassion, he wants to heal us. But it angers him. And the result of the sin for this man was absolutely horrendous. As I say, you know, they had to be outside the camp. They had to lose their families, in effect. They probably wouldn't have had good nutrition. And they had to wander around in this desperate state until they died. Horrible, horrible situation. But this is what happened. Moved with pity. Moved with pity. The compassion is so strong. And he said to him, "I will be clean." It's the word of his power. But there's something else that happened here. He reached out and touched him. Something dramatic happened in 1987. Princess Diana, then Princess of Wales, she visited a hospital with AIDS and HIV patients. And she reached out and shook their hands. No glove. She just reached out. She was full of compassion, and she's a member of royalty. Well, Jesus is a member of royalty, and he's full of compassion as well. With Jesus, by touching, he did not make himself unclean. He did not do that. Instead, he healed this man. Now, here's something. If you had seen this, you would have been absolutely stunned. A totally disfigured person. Who knows what happened? What was his real condition? What was missing? What was deformed? But instantly, he became like a normal human being. Instantly, not slowly, but instantly. And why is it important that we see that it was instant? It's important because when we come to Christ and we ask for his compassion because of our sin, he instantly forgives us. It's all gone. All of it. Completely gone. As far as the east is from the west, it's completely gone. And what's touching is of course, his reaching out and touching him. He stretched out his hand and touched the leper. And then, of course, you think, okay, so this hand was eventually pierced with a nail and he was crucified. This healing hand was eventually on the cross. And it's an amazing thing to think about. He eventually paid the penalty for the sins of this man, for the sins of you and me. He paid for it by stretching out his hand on the cross, nailed right through his wrist. Immediately, the leprosy left him. So it was immediately. And there's a famous song, isn't there? He looked upon me in my helpless state. He looked upon me in my helpless state. We have to remember that. He did. He really did. So instead now of being clothed in torn rags with hair disheveled, what do we have now? We have the clean garments of righteousness. Jesus, very white, clean clothes. That's what we have now. But here comes the difficult part here, and we cannot quite picture how this worked and what happened. Verse 43. Jesus sternly charged him. Now, the Greek word behind this is really strong. It was like a rah, like that. I cannot quite picture it, but it was very, very strong. So we have to remember that the Jesus of compassion has full authority as well. But the sad and curious thing is when he encountered demons, they just ran from his presence. They shuddered, trembled, and disappeared. But here's a human being. He went out and disobeyed. Now you could say easily, well, if I'd been made clean, I would probably tell everybody in town. But Jesus did not want that at that point in time. The reason is because Jesus did not come to be a great healing ministry. He came to save us from our sins. He came to make us disciples. He came to teach us about sin and bring us to repentance. So we think that Jesus knew the personal pain that he was going to have to go through, because we'll see in a few minutes that from then on, he really could not enter into the towns and, you might say, live a normal life. He had to go out into the desolate places. So let's keep on reading. But we have to remember this. Isaiah 53, verse 5. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. He knew that he was going to pay for this by the healing of this man that he had pity on, who disobeyed him. Now, I think about this too. When we were saved, did we then go and live a perfect life afterwards? No, we didn't live a perfect life. We went out and sinned as well. And God is still in that state of grace and forgiveness for us. But we have to look at it, and we have to be repentant when we are going the wrong way. So he sent him away at once, and he said to him, "See to it that you say nothing to anyone." So many of us would say Jesus is the man of steel and velvet, right? The velvet is his compassion, the steel is his command, and he is both. When he returns to the earth, he is going to be a man of steel. He is going to banish all sin and all evildoers as well. So the sternly charging is an action Jesus took many times in ministry, because his purpose was to preach and teach and train men and women to make disciples of all nations. His purpose was spiritual healing to save us from our sins, rather than physical healing. We would like, all of us, wouldn't we, to have our physical healing taking place. But that is not the purpose of Christ. He still does heal, but his main purpose is our healing from our sin. So he told him, "Go show yourself to the priest." That's verse 44. "Go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." So again, this is what Jesus did. He came to fulfill the law, because it was in Leviticus 13 and 14, of the detail of what a leper should be after he had been cleansed. Because it still did happen. You could still heal up, but they would have to go to the priest and they would have to make a sacrifice. We think that his purpose when Jesus did this was to go to the priest so the priest could literally realize, wow, you really were a catastrophe, weren't you? But now you're coming to me. Let me look at you. But there's no sign of leprosy at all on you. Who did this? You know, and the leper would have told that priest, he would have done that. So the leper's cleansing was a powerful call to the priests that Jesus was no ordinary man. It's possible that that's what Jesus wanted to happen. But the leper was disobedient. We don't know whether he actually did go to the priest. We don't really know. We do know this, though. It says, he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news. So this leper was extremely effective, you might say, in spreading the news. But it wasn't the news of the gospel. It was the news about healing. You can go and get healed. You can also probably get a free lunch as well. He began to be known for all of those things, but not necessarily for his preaching and teaching and drawing to repentance. And that was the real purpose of his mission on earth, was calling people to repentance and then also dying and taking our place. So Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. And of course, again, those of us who think about this a little bit, you know, he touched him with the hand that was going to be crucified, and then he had to go out of town, and that's where he was crucified, outside Jerusalem. It wasn't inside Jerusalem. So this was all a kind of a forecast of what was going to happen eventually. So let's think about, who is the leper? Well, the leper is us. The leper is us. We were covered in the deformity that came from sin, and we couldn't see it perhaps. We couldn't even feel it sometimes, but we were desensitized to our own sins. And that was the horrible thing. Now, the leprous person who has the disease shall tear his clothes, and let the hair of his head hang loose, and he has to shout, unclean, unclean. So, horrible being a leper. We're going to talk about that a little bit here. So, we know what it is. It's a progressive deterioration of the human being. And who has leprosy? All of us. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. We are all like lepers, but we are justified by his grace as a gift, as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. So we were outcasts. We couldn't even get near God at all because we were covered in leprosy, and at first we didn't even know it. Eventually, they will know it. They'll notice, wait a minute, there's drops of blood coming off me, and I didn't even feel it. We eventually recognize our sin, don't we? So now, we have been cleansed, but I'm going to introduce something here about the problem with leprosy is you don't feel it. And we can still, as Christians, become desensitized, can we not, to our own sin. So, Table Talk, May 2023. An article here, commonly tolerated sins. So these are things that if we are not careful, we will become desensitized to, and we will allow in us. And we have to go back to God in the compassion that he has to ask for the full forgiveness. So these are things, when we read this list, we have to look at ourselves first, because it's very easy to look at other people and say, yeah, you know what they're doing. They're doing this stuff all the time. So here's one. I will read the list. One of them is marital apathy. Marital apathy. In other words, you're really not putting a lot of work into the love and the bonding with your wife that you should. You're kind of saying, well, they're difficult to get along with, and therefore I'm not going to bother. It's a common tolerated sin. When I was first married, I was very good at marital apathy. When I married Sandy, I had a completely different life, because by that time I had learned that marital apathy is completely useless. Don't do it. Marital apathy. Neglecting evangelism. A commonly tolerated sin. We live in the most amazing nation, don't we? We have at Pete's on Friday a whole gathering of people. There's a group of people there. They go to the mosque to pray every day. We're getting to know them quite well. And I'm always hoping that we eventually will talk about who Jesus is with them. We haven't got that point yet. because we're establishing that friendship. But do not neglect evangelism. And evangelism is very simple. It does not have to be door to door. It does not have to be on a soapbox. It can be by your life, by the way you live. And it also can be what you say from your mouth. And you eventually are going to have to give the name Jesus. Laziness, harshness, divisiveness, gossip, divisiveness. Oh, we had so much of that, didn't we? And I say, wait a minute. I had a COVID point of view as well. And that COVID point of view points to me as I could have been divisive at that point. Commonly tolerated sins, things that lepers ignore until they get so bad that they are corrupt again. Dishonoring authorities, the vain use of God's name. I get so fed up with hearing on the TV the famous bleep, bleep. And you think, they shouldn't even be putting it on the TV in the first place. If they cannot record somebody who has a decent way of saying something. However, again, when we look at commonly tolerated sins, this is where I should be looking first. Impatience, anxiety, worldliness, harshness. So when we think about the leper and the cleansing that he had, we should also take a look at this from the point of view, a leper is desensitized to his problem and his sin. And there have been many accounts where they've said, no, you're going to have to wear a shoe that fits you properly and it doesn't bust your toes to pieces. Oh no, I want the shoe that looks good. We cannot do this. We have to let God change us. We have to realize that the leprosy will, if we're not repentant before God, it could kill us as well. So the neat thing about this is that for God, everyone is important. No one is marginalized. Everyone is important. So when Jesus looked at this leper, even though he knew he was going to disobey him, he healed him anyway. And it hurt him, Jesus, ultimately, because he had to lay his hand on the cross to die for the cleansing of this man, to forgive him sins. A couple of chapters later, there is the famous paralytic man story, and he says to the Pharisees, which one is easier, to say, forgive your sins, or to actually heal the man? And the reason he did this, because everybody could say, well, you can just say, forgive your sins and do nothing else. There's no proof of it. You could even be lying about it. But he says, watch this. I'm going to heal this man. And then you're going to say, but I've also got the authority to forgive sins as well. So that is the beauty of it. So he was fully God, fully man on earth. And he ate and slept and did everything we did. He was fully God. And he is amazing. And as we know, God moved heaven and earth. He moved heaven and earth to save us. He sent down the only gift that is supremely important. It was his son to die for us. Titus 3:4 says, when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. So this Jesus who was on the earth is the same one as is described in Isaiah 6. I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. They saw the glory of God, and they hid behind their wings because God is so glorious, is so majestic, is so huge. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. So this is the Holy One who came and walked the earth, who wore sandals, who walked around, who breathed, who ate, and all of those things. And he came to the earth so that we could live. Isn't that amazing? So the gospel is the good news of repentance and salvation by faith. And he preached it right from the beginning. Jesus is also the seal of our redemption, isn't he? We are released and we are set free by the sacrifice of the Lamb of God. So God's divine qualities are shown in Jesus himself, his compassion, his love, and his authority as well. So his gentleness is like this: come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But this is the one, though, that also commands the demons, and they disappear. They shudder and tremble. He has that power. And he said in John 14 that if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. He also said that I and the Father are one. So if we see Jesus doing this healing of the leper, we see the true God, the true compassion that he has. The compassion is overwhelming, even though he knows this leper was disobedient. And it is overwhelming because we were as disobedient as that leper. We looked as ugly as that leper as well. We have to remember that. So when we see Jesus, we actually see God. And what you see is what you get. You know, the famous WYSIWYG. What you see is what you get. The rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are justice, a God of faithfulness and without iniquity. Deuteronomy 32, verse 4. I often use that when life gets rough and you think, wait a minute, why did God allow this or whatever? But you say, wait a minute, Deuteronomy 32, 4. The rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are justice, a God of faithfulness, without iniquity, just and upright is he. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Hebrews 13. We can preach that good news of Jesus Christ, the man of steel and velvet. He was full of compassion, but he's also the man of steel. When he returns to the earth, people are going to be horrified because he's actually going to banish all evil. He's going to conquer armies. You say, whoa, this is the same man. Yes, it is. It's the same man who went to the cross to die for our sins. But he will also come back to eradicate those who refuse to repent. And that is something that is often not talked about. We have to repent of our sins before we can have salvation. We actually have to repent. So we see some problems, don't we, in ourselves when we talk about the leprosy, and we talk about the fact we could be insensitive to our own pride, anger, lust, sensuality, or selfishness, or even sexual lust. We can be tolerant of in ourselves, can we not? But we should not be. We also have to think about, what is my journey with compassion? How compassionate am I? How willing am I to stop what I'm doing and do something that somebody needs to be done that actually takes away from, quote unquote, my own priorities? So we need to think about, search for opportunities to show compassion wherever it is you can look. In Fremont, we have what's called the Compassion Network, actually, and I know it's in other cities as well. It's where people can go if they need help of some sort, or housing or food or something, a compassion network. Look for opportunities to do that. And the Lord shall reign forever. When he comes back, he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And we have to remember that. So what we have to remember, what we started talking about, was that the glory of Christ is compassionate. We can go to him to be cleansed from all unrighteousness, and we can serve him in a new life. So let's pray. Thank you, Father in heaven, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son, from the Father, full of grace and truth. We thank you. We see in this story the story of our own lives. Before we came to you, when we came to you, we believed that you would cleanse us from sins, and we pray now too that you will help us to take a look at things we may be tolerating that are still sin. Help us, cleanse us from those things as well. We thank you, and we pray that you'll help us also to make sure everyone around us knows your name, Jesus, the one who saves. We thank you, Father, for sending him. We thank you for your powerful and compassionate mercy. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.